Some 15 million Americans have purchased Dr. Robert Atkin's last book, The New Diet Revolution. The South Beach diet book has sold some 5 million copies. The health benefits of these diets are open to fierce debate. What's certain, though, is that low-carbohydrate diets are fixtures on America's culinary landscape. But the no pancakes, no tortilla chips, no bagels regimen can surely be a trial. For those suffering carb deprivation, we found a store that says you can have your cake and eat it too.
The cheesecakes on the top are excellent. There's 2 grams of carbs for the individual cheesecake. On the other side, we have all the breads. We have bagels that have 2 grams of carbs per bagel, versus a regular bagel would have anywhere from 30 to 40 grams.
Curtis Price, his brother and a partner, opened Whoa, That's Low, the low-carb, low-sugar superstore, 6 months ago. It's tucked into a small, hard-to-find shopping plaza on the edge of Silver Spring, Maryland, but it draws customers from around the Washington metro area. Sharon Ferguson drove 45 minutes to get here from Virginia.
Well, I'm looking for something with crunch because really, up until this point, the only thing with crunch I've been able to find are pork rinds, which get a little heavy. And so I'm experimenting with some low-carb tortilla chips, which are new to me. I have some low-carb cookies. These are all sugar-free and low-carb. I mean, sugar to me is like a poison, so I try to stay away from it. And the Atkins pastas are on sale, so I'm stocking up on that, you know. To me, pasta is just a flavorless sort of carrier for good protein. So, you know, you put a little bit under it and then make a real nice, thick, chunky spaghetti sauce with lots of meat or lots of Parmesan cheese, lots of mozzarella. It's good.
Ferguson began following the Atkins diet early on. The first book came out in 1972. It's a high-protein diet based on meat, fish, and eggs, but you won't find those foods in this store.
Right here, we have a junk food in a way. Truffles, caramels. The Judy's caramels are amazing. I mean, they taste like caramel.
But they're made without sugar?
Without sugar. They do use sugar alcohol, which is one of the common sweeteners that you find in mainly the low-carb candies. Maltitol, Splenda, Stevia, those are the main sweeteners that they use. So like this particular caramel will have 0.75 grams of carbs, versus a regular caramel that would probably have 30 grams.
And while the caramel was certainly yummy, watching one's carbs can seem more like chemistry than cuisine. Sugar is not the only taboo. Starch is out, soy is in, so are egg whites and almond meal. Many of the folks we saw at Whoa, That's Low were interested mostly in shedding a few pounds. But Curtis Price says his store is not just for fad dieters.
When we were getting our business plan and everything really together to open the store, we looked at it as, unfortunately, diabetes is not a fad. Diabetes isn't going anywhere. And that's one of the target audiences, people that we really want to come in the store are diabetics. And we have a lot of diabetics that come in that are happy they can just browse the aisles and not have to really worry about how much sugar is in this particular product. My father actually likes to come in. He's a type 2 diabetic, and he can get a juice or soda in here and, you know, not even really worry about it.
Curtis Price's business hasn't been open long, but he's doing well. Some customers have been asking to order online. Others want to open franchises of their own. It's clearly a large and growing market he's tapped into. Low carb doesn't come cheap. Pancake mix runs $7.99. A box of cereal will put you at $5 or $6. Industry giants are cashing in, too. You may see a banner strung across your 7-Eleven trumpeting the low-carb revolution. Last week, Unilever announced low-carb versions of their Skippy peanut butter and Ragu spaghetti sauce. And Frito-Lay unveiled low-carb Doritos and Tostitos. Brian Todd, the president of the Food Institute, says the products just keep coming.
Now there are hundreds. We don't have an exact count, but there are at least 10 or 20 coming out each week, at least for the past several months now.
And what about in restaurants? This is not just limited to the grocery stores.
Oh, definitely. Particularly over the past 2 or 3 weeks, there have been a slew of announcements of restaurant chains coming out with low-carb versions or linking up TGI Fridays, linking up with the Atkins group to have an Atkins preferred menu. Subway has been touting their low-carb wraps. Burger King, of course, was probably the biggest announcement that they'll have a bunless Whopper. They don't want to be caught unaware of what's going on either, particularly since the food industry, as far as what's bought in grocery stores and what's bought, you know, at restaurants, is split about evenly, so no one wants to give up any customer base in that area.
Do you think this is a long-term kind of change, or is this kind of just the new thing here?
Right now, I think it's probably peaking. I do think it will be here for a long time to come, just as the low-fat did peak a few years ago, but there's still a slew of low-fat products out there. From what I've seen, this has a much bigger impact than that did. We're talking about some estimates place sales for low-carb food somewhere around $12 billion, which may be on the high side, but that's a pretty substantial amount. And even if it goes down 50%, a $6 billion market for any food product is substantial.
How does that compare with, you know, sales as a whole?
The $12 billion market, I mean, the supermarket industry as a whole is somewhere around a $400 billion business. So if you figured one type of an item is $12 billion, that's a pretty substantial share for an entire food industry.
Brian Todd, president of the Food Institute, commenting on how much Americans will shell out to consume less.